a good guy. He's been a good guy. He has a good heart. He's very compassionate and everything. He just had some troubles with some issues. Yeah. And he came in on Wednesday night, and the Wednesday night group, he just kind of just opened up to all of us. I mean, seriously, right there, like within about 2 minutes. So, you know, if you don't want to get clean, don't come. Don't come. Because you say, man, I would never do that. Well, you know, don't be surprised. It's just such a great atmosphere, such a great ministry feel to the thing. Seriously. I mean, you have saints of God that have been there, have been with the Lord a long time and have lots of compassion and love and very, very little judgment at all, if any, in our lives. We've been beaten up so much. We know how it feels on almost anything, any alcoholism, drug abuse, thrown away, whatever you want to say, you know, don't know who your daddy is. I mean, all kind of, you name it, man. We've been through it all, through it all. And through it all. And anyway, Edward comes in and he's just, I mean, it really surprises me that he's so open so quickly. And he sits down and I said, come over here, come up here. Because once he started talking, then everybody in the group kind of wanted to participate, you know. And it was, and they were just trying, everybody was trying to help. I said, come up here, come right here. Mm-hmm. And he sat right in front of me. I said, now listen, I'm going to tell you one thing. Here's one thing I'm going to tell you. And I'm going to tell you the same thing, all right? You have problems, you have issues, you have feelings, you have fears, you have anxieties, you got stuff grabbing you, whatever. Here, I'm going to give you the same advice because this is what I have found to be the truth. I've been pastoring for 40 years, over 40 years. I've counseled people till I'm blue in the face. I have told them brilliant things out of this world. I have been so smart. I have been so anointed of God. I have been so led by the Spirit of God that when the counselee walked out, I just was shocked at myself. I said, whoa, where did that come from? I mean, I've had it all. I've had words of wisdom, words of knowledge. I've had people sit down in front of me and tell me a whole different story than what I knew because God had placed it in my heart, what was going on in their life. And I said, what seems to be the problem? And they take off on some kind of a hit parade, you know, of all the calamities of life. And I'm sitting there at the desk looking at them and listening. You know, and I'm letting them tell their story, the whole thing. I just go with them the whole way. And then when we get through, I say, well, you know, I know that that's what it seems to be, but let me tell you what it really is. And then I tell them about one sentence. And the only trouble I have with that is people are so underwhelmed by that, that they think I wasn't listening. They think it couldn't be that simple. You obviously were not listening to everything I said, because this is catastrophic, Pastor. This is, takes a 16-cylinder double-jointed answer to this thing. It's not that simple. But I want to tell you what I told. Now, the testimony is, you just saw it, right? All right, so the testimony is, there he is. Look at him. He's up there playing, praising God, singing, clothed, and in his right mind. You can actually talk to him about something and it makes sense. You can see who he is and what he's all about. And so that's the testimony. So what I'm telling you, that ought to back it up. It ought to say, okay, well, maybe he's got something there, you know. Maybe he knows something. Then here's the word for you. Whatever's going on with you, whatever's wrong, come to church. That's my advice. Come to church. You say, what else? That's it. Come to church. I'm talking about just show up. I'm not talking about you have to get up here and dance and shout and sing and raise your hands and do all. I'm just saying, just get in the sanctuary. Just sit down in one of these seats and just sit there. And I'm going to guarantee you that whatever needs to happen in your life, God is going to do it. That's what happened to. I said exactly what I told him that Wednesday night. I said, you come to church. I mean, the group can testify. That's all I said. I didn't say, go to counseling, do blah, 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 blah. I said, come to church. Because whatever God wants to say to you, he's going to say it through somebody. Mm-hmm. Because last time I checked, God's not doing a lot of talking on his own. Now, I know some of you have heard his voice, and I'm not trying to say you didn't. I'm not trying to say you didn't. You probably did. But that's not normal. That's not the way most of the time it happens. Most of the time it happens when one of his people are impressed by the Spirit of God. Just like the men who wrote the Word of God were led by the Spirit of God to pen everything they wrote in this Word of God. God used people to do that. God didn't write all that with his finger. God inspired men of old who were led by the Spirit of God to write down what the Spirit of God was saying to their heart. And we have a Word of God because of that. Same way. God's still working the same way. He speaks to his people. And he gives you impulses. He gives you thoughts. He gives you things you never considered, things you never thought of, insight beyond yourself. That's called words of wisdom and words of knowledge. When God tells you something you don't know, you've had it happen to you a bunch of times. I know you have. I know you've been reading a passage of Scripture and it never meant anything to you. And then all of a sudden you read it and boom, it means everything. And it's just like, how in the world could I have missed that? Well, that's God. When God wants to reveal truth to you, he will reveal truth to you. And truth is not discovered. Truth is revealed.
That's it.
I'm not smart enough to learn truth. If God doesn't reveal truth to me, I will never know truth. Now, I might know a theory or I might know a few facts, but I won't know the truth until God tells me the truth. Because it's never true until God says it's true. Because it's never over until God says it's over. We're never finished until we hear it from God. Don't ever be afraid of what you're doing or back away from what you're doing or think you're inadequate and you can't do it. And good night, man, I know other people are strong and they can do it. And I can't do it. Look, the God that has inspired you to do whatever it is that you're doing is a God that is powerful enough to bless you to be able to do it. And do not be intimidated are full of fear, because God will not leave you. He will carry you through what he has given you to do. And it's not over until God says it's over. So when you say it's over, it ain't over. When some of your friends say it's over, it ain't over. When circumstances say it's over, it ain't over. It's not over till God says it's over. And he'll bless you. And Robert started coming to church. And he came for what, about a month maybe? And then he came up one Sunday. I mean, when he was going out with the kids like he did today, he was going out with them and helping his mom. And he stopped. And he said, "Pastor, can I say something to the congregation?" You guys that were here that Sunday, you remember this. And I said, "Sure you can." And he said, and he turned around and he said, "Y'all, listen. In this service," I was just standing here in this service. He said, "We were singing and I was standing right back there in this service and I was just singing along with everybody else." And he said, "Boy, I've been struggling with this drug thing. I've been struggling, boy. I wanted them. I gave them up, but I wanted them. And every day I would want them and I'd want them and I'd just, ooh, it was just, boom." And I was just at points, at times where I thought I can't take it anymore and I'm going to have to do it. But he said, "I didn't do it. God arranged circumstances. I didn't have any money. I didn't have anything. So I couldn't do anything like that." And he said, and then we all were standing right back there singing. And he said, "God took away the taste for that stuff out of my life." And he said, "I'm standing here right now telling you I have no desire whatsoever for that anymore in my life." Now, nobody was up here preaching about it. Nobody was laying hands and testifying. Nobody was shooting lightning bolts out of their eyes or something or another, you know. We weren't having a heavenly hoedown in here. Everybody could come down and get full of the Holy Ghost or something. I mean, all it was the Spirit of God among the people of God in a powerful way. And where the Spirit of God is, miracles happen. Not because of us. Most of the time it shocks us when it does. We go like, what? I mean, y'all saw me. I'm a pastor, man. I'm a man of God. I have oil that comes out of my mouth and honey flows from my fingertips. And I was shocked. I was shocked. I even said it, and I tried to be nice about it. And I tried not to, you know, put down on what he just said. But I even tried to give him a little bit of an out. I tried to say, hey, we really want that to be true. Didn't you? You heard me. I said, if you picked up my feelings, you were picking up that I was saying, I know you think that, but it's going to come back. You know, that's what I was saying to him. So don't be surprised when it jumps back on you, because, you know, it's a tough demon and it's hard to get rid of it, you know, and all that. But you know something? It's never come back. Mm-hmm. Now, did he have to clean up some more of his life? I'm sure he did. Mm-hmm. Did he have to, is it still issue-y at times? I'm sure it is. Mm-hmm. Whose life in here is not? Mm-hmm. Right? We all just have different issues. We're all sick. We just have different sicknesses. We're all well. We just are well in different ways. We're all brilliant, just about different things. We're all ignorant about different things. I mean, God has made us that way, you know, so we need each other. That's why we all need each other. And he's been coming, and he just comes to church. And there he is, and God's using him. And he told me the other day, he said, pray for me, Pastor, because I believe God might be calling me to be a missionary to Japan. I said, can you speak Japanese? He said, not a word. I said, do you like Japanese food? And he said, I guess I do. I said, well, one out of two, maybe. Maybe you can make it over there, you know. But anyway, I'm praying, that's just a testimony that now he feels like God is in him and God wants to use him. Now, what a change. What a turnaround. From what? From what? Coming to church. Oh, you went into the pastor and got some marvelous counseling. No, he didn't. He went to some group somewhere and they help him get along, you know, and prop him up. No, he didn't. Nothing happened except he came to church. And he kept coming to church because God will give you an answer. I guarantee you, in the middle of a message, in the middle of a thought, a song, a person sitting beside you says something to you, somebody prays something, some report about something, and all of a sudden, boom, man, it hits you and you go, whoo, man, that was right for me. I can't tell you how many times, I might not even get to this message today. I can't tell you how many times. Well, you see. Now, see, if you're going to be used by God, you got to learn how to go with God. That's all I'm telling you. You got to just go with what he's doing in you. And then what he's doing is what he's doing, is all I'm saying. But you know, I have had people that have come and have masterfully devised schemes and patterns and programs and plans and all of that and not get anything out of it. It looks like it ought to work. And everybody says it should work, but it just it's not empowered by God. And then I've had people that have come into church. Now listen, you come in here and most likely everybody in here has something going on in your life that you're wanting God to get involved with. Maybe you need to be healed, or maybe it's your attitude, or maybe you need some wisdom about something, or maybe it's your family, those crazy things, you know. And maybe it's your job, your boss is just tearing you up, or maybe you're worried about your job's going away, or, you know, or all your friends, whatever it might be, you have something. And you want God to get involved somehow in that. And whatever he wants to do, then you're okay with him doing, you know, with doing it. But you want him involved, and you came to church and you're saying, God, come on, God. And I'm up here preaching about nothing. I'm preaching about really nothing right now. I mean, nothing particular. I'm just scattering. I'm just saying what I feel like the Lord puts in my heart at the moment. But I'll guarantee you that God is speaking to somebody right now. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand or anything. I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot. But I'll guarantee you that God is saying something to somebody in this house.
Yeah.
Now, I don't even know, and I don't even want to know, and I don't care to know, because that's none of my business. Mm-hmm. I'm in sales. He's in management. Right, Sarah?
Yes.
That's left to management. I'm just in sales. Yeah. I don't need to know what management's doing. All I need to do is do what he says. And so that's what I'm doing, and God is using that. And I've had people walk out of this service, same people now, walk out of this service, say, Pastor, I'm telling you, boy, today when you said so-and-so, whatever it might be, that just touched my heart. Woo, it was awesome. I just said, finally somebody said something about my life. And I'll be thinking to myself when they're saying that to me, I'll be thinking, I didn't say that. I'm thinking, when did I say that? I'm thinking, actually, I would never say that because that's totally contrary to anything I am. I know I didn't say that. Now I'm thinking that. But of course, you know, somebody's trying to testify and you're trying to encourage them. You're not going to argue with them. Well, I didn't say that. What's wrong with you? You know, because look, if I didn't say it, somebody said it. Some, they heard it, you know, that's what they heard.
Yeah.
So if I didn't say it, somebody said it, and I'm believing that God said it. I'm believing, and hey, I'm going to tell you, God can cancel out my words anytime he wants to. You know, he can just kind of make my words fly right over you and just say something right there to you, and then you take it and say, boy, that Pastor Keith, he is something else. I'm telling you, he just spoke right to my heart today. No, God spoke to your heart today. God did it. I'm not smart enough to speak to your heart in the first place. I don't even know what's going on in you. I don't have a clue. And if I did, I couldn't fix you because I resigned several years ago as general manager of the universe. Now, if you would have seen me several years ago, I might have fixed you up because back then I knew everything, right? And I could fix anything. I'll get our sponsor out of the way. Yep. All right. Y'all do know I'm playing about that. I'm thinking somebody might think, yeah, but what? The church has a sponsor? Yeah. If they wanted to supply us water every Sunday, I would drink it and show it on the internet. And it's, hey, a few $1,000 a week, what can we? Yeah, we could do that. But anyway, that's all I got to say to you. So let's stand up and go home. No, I'm kidding. That's an intro to this message, isn't it? This one in a million. All right, that's my intro.
Okay.
Now let's look at the message. Now I'll make it quick because I do know, hey, I've been preaching for like 15 minutes or more, right? Is anybody timing me? Think about 15 minutes. And so I know I'm not going to kill you, okay? I'm aware, and I'm going to just go through this thing real quick because I think you get the point. But I started sharing 2 weeks ago about a couple of Bible heroes that we find in the book of Hebrews.
Yeah, yeah.
Hebrews chapter 11 is filled with heroes of the faith. Let me say it like that. They are just wonderful people that did wonderful things at wonderful times, miraculous things, astounding things. And then also some of them suffered in great ways. They were sawn asunder. They had family members killed. They were hung on crosses. They were fed to the lions. You know, they were drawn and quartered. I mean, everything you can imagine for faith in Christ. And yet they never failed in faith. They never gave it up. They never quit. And they were just tremendously rewarded by God and greatly used on this earth. And in one verse, it says, I don't have time to talk about Barak and Samson and Gideon and Jephthah and David and, you know, and it just lumps a whole bunch of people. Well, we talked about Samson and about how to be strong. You know, the things that rob you from your strength in life, like, you know, you just blow up at the least little thing. You can't control your reactions. You can't discipline yourself to keep your desires from leading you everywhere, you know. And then you can't stay committed to something. So it kills you and it makes you weak like it did Samson. And then last week, Gideon. And we talked about the things we could expect God to do in our life, like God's going to encourage me and God's going to meet me. Remember? And God's gonna test me. How many of you have ever been through some tests? Been through some? Holy Ghost. You're never going to be used till you go through some tests. I'm going to tell you that for sure. And the tests are not really tests. They're really like instructions is really what they are. They're training. They're boot camp for you. And then he's going to empower you. You remember all of that. Well, let's just do one more, okay? Wes is going to be preaching next week. And then the first week in February, I'm starting Luke chapter 15. And for the whole month of February, we're going to be in Luke 15. And it's, I can't wait. It's going, I can't wait for that. But let's look at one more today. Let's look at a Bible character that every one of us knows. Every person that's living on earth, I think, knows this. A man by the name of Noah. Noah did what? Built a big boat, right? Built a big ark. This might be interesting for some of you that like word studies and things like that. The word ark does not mean boat. Noah's boat was an ark. There also was an ark of the covenant that the children of Israel carried all the way out through the desert. And somebody may be thinking, how did they carry that big boat all the way out in the desert like that? But you just need to study your archaeology. But anyway, forgive me, all right? I'm a little giddy at the moment. Just forgive me. But the word ark means a box for safekeeping. A box for safekeeping. Noah's boat was an ark because it was a box for safekeeping. It kept 8 people alive and a bunch of animals so the earth could be replenished. The Ark of the Covenant was an ark because it had in it Aaron's rod that budded, the broken tablets, and the golden pot of gold with manna in it. And it kept them safe. But we all know Noah because Noah built an ark. And let me just show you his story. This is in Hebrews 11. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world. By the way, what that means there, that sounds kind of really rugged. What that means is when Noah built the ark, he drew a line. And he drew a line and said, the people that believe God are on this side of the line, and the people who do not believe God are on this side of the line. So when it says he condemned the world by building an ark, he just drew a line in between belief and unbelief. And so Noah built it, and by which he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteousness which is according to the faith. That's what Hebrews says about Noah. Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous. Notice some things it didn't say about Noah. Notice it didn't say he was wealthy beyond belief. Notice that it didn't say he was wise beyond his years. Notice that it didn't say he was the leader of the whole world. Notice that it didn't say he had power greater than everybody else and he was so influential that people bowed at his feet. Notice that it didn't say anything like that. It just said, old plain Noah. I have to believe that Noah was just a plain old person. Look at the person beside you and say, just like you. Just like you. Don't say it too enthusiastically, all right? Yeah, just like you. Just a regular person. No special credential. And yet, God is going to use him to save this entire world. I mean, the world that is to come, to follow, because if Noah didn't do what he did, there wouldn't be any of us alive, because God got so angry. Well, as a matter of fact, let me give you the verse that says a good word for you. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout. I love that line, run to and fro. You see God's eyes just skimming like that. Doesn't it? I mean, it's kind of a poetic kind of God's eyes running to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself mighty on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In other words, God's just looking for a chance to use you. Hello? God is just looking for an opportunity to show himself mighty in your behalf. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. In other words, just give me a chance, God says. Just come on, do anything. Get out there. Get with me. Go with me. Try it. Come on. Hey, my eyes are running to and fro, and I see you. And I'm going to show myself mighty in your behalf if you'll just be loyal to me. Come on, man, you know. So that's what God was doing when he found Noah. Just a regular old person, his eyes were going. You see, this verse tells us that the reason God uses people is because of their heart, because of their loyalty, not because of their bank account, not because of their diplomas on the wall, not because of the communities they live in or the people that they're dealing with. He does. It's a heart thing. Look, you know, say, it's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. Yeah, it's a heart thing. God blesses people that are loyal. And that's what he was doing when he found Noah. And so this is the story of Noah beginning in chapter 6. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was very sorry. Now, that right there is the New King James Version of the Bible. That's what it says. And the Lord was very sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The old King James Version uses a much more descriptive word that has caused lots of consternation among theologians ever since it was written, I'm sure. It said, and God repented. That's what the old King James. And God repented that he had made man. How in the world does God repent? I mean, really, that's a theological deal. But sorry doesn't really describe what God was. To be sorry for something means, you know, I hate that I did that, and it wasn't good, and maybe I could have done it in a better way, or, you know, I'm sorry. I just didn't know. Repent means to turn or do an about face. I mean, for you to come to God when the Bible says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you. It's talking about repentance. It's talking about turning away from. It's talking about going one direction and stop and then do an about face and walk in the other direction. That's what repent means. So when you repent, you're not sorry. You might be a little bit, but that's not what the thrust is. The thrust is that you quit doing what you were doing and start doing something else. And that's exactly what God did. God said, I'm going to destroy all of them. Hey, I created all of them. There's a flaw somewhere. They're a bunch of wicked people, evil people. I'm getting rid of every one of them. And yet God looks around, and that's the environment that Noah was in. So the Lord said, I'll destroy man who I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air. For I repent that I ever made them. I'm going to do something about it. I'm changing direction. I made them. I'm going to take them out of here. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because Noah's heart was on the Lord. Noah's heart was turned toward him. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let me give you the four things that were different about Noah than the rest of the world. Are you interested in that? Okay, let me give it to you real quickly. Because see, what I want you to see is, if God's going to use you, these are the four things that are going to cause him to use you. Now, really, seriously, just like I said to you, if you want something done in your life, come to church. Don't miss. Because the day you miss might be the day that he answers whatever it is that's going on. And he said, oh, you should have been there. Should have been there. Now, he might say it again or he might not. So don't take a chance. Here's how the heart. God uses people who are available. Your greatest ability is your availability. Billy says this to me all the time. He does. This is his favorite point in any message at any time. because he says it to me, and I love to hear it. Hey, listen, if you guys want to preach to me anytime, I'm your man. Believe me. You can say the same thing to me. I don't care how many times you say it. I love to hear you say it. I love to hear you talk. I love to hear you talk about things of God. So just tell me. If you've told me before, I'm not going to get offended. Just say it again. And just do it as long as you want to. But this is true. The greatest ability we have is our availability. It's not our ability. Because what happens is left to management. We're just in sales. So the ability of the salesman is not even an issue in whatever's going on in life, right? I can't heal anybody, right? I can't speak to somebody and by my own strength and power have anything happen to them. Only God can do that. Now, could I be used by God? Yeah, if I'm available. But that's my availability. It's not my aptitude, not my smarts, not my thinking, not my ability to ration and reason. It's not my aptitude, it's my attitude. It's, hey, God, I'll go. Hey, God, use me. Oh, yeah, hey, I got a full life, but there's always room for you. Hey, what you need it? I'm your man, God. Come on. Here I am, use me. And you've heard me say this before. You don't have to ask God to use you. I've heard people say that, use me, Lord, use me, Lord, use me. I mean, I've been in prayer meetings. Y'all would just be shocked to know how many prayer meetings I've been in my life. Tanya can tell you, I used to get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning and go pray with preacher friends for hours. That was when I was young. I didn't know any better. Because I thought that was really important, you know. But I've learned that I'm not heard for my much speaking. I can talk to God 24 hours, 7 days a week if I want to, but it's not my much speaking that's going to do anything for my life. It's my attitude, it's my surrender, it's my availability to God. Because he's the one that does it, and all I have to do is make myself available. And if you'll make yourself available, I've heard them in that prayer meeting, use me, God, use me, God, use me, God. I've been one of them saying, use me, God, use me, God, use me, God. Come on, God, use me. I want to be a man of God. I want to serve you. I want to please you, God. I want to hear well done when I get to heaven. God, use me. Give me, fill me with yourself. I've prayed all kinds of stuff like that, a lot. And you know what God finally kind of said to my heart, you know, that voice that hits you inside, you know, like that. Hey, make yourself available and I'll wear you out. Yeah. And you know what? He was right. I have been available to him for the last 9 years. Now, I've been pastoring for 40 years, and I'm going to say that 31 of them, Wesley probably wasn't really all that available, you know. I mean, I was the pastor of the church. And so I was too busy. Lord, don't bother me with ministry. I got a sermon to prepare for about Jesus, you know, for all the people to tell them, come on, serve Jesus. So I would do it, but I don't have time. Well, he remedied all that. I got to start over again, right? And you know something? It's a blessing in life to be able to start over again. I'm serious. Don't you wish you could start over again? You know, that's what being saved is, right? Washed clean. Slate clean. No stuff on the books. Starting over again. What a marvelous opportunity to start life again. Come on. Whoo! So God uses people that are available. Let me tell you one story. Okay. I just looked at the clock and I got intimidated. I'm sorry. This is a story, and I'm going to quit after this, y'all. I am. And I'm not going to do all the rest of this. But I want to tell you this one little story, all right? Y'all probably don't know a big national person by the name of Anthony Campolo. If you do know him, you probably know him from a long time back. But Anthony Campolo has written some books. He's really a Christian sociologist, is really what he is. But he preaches and he does meetings everywhere and he loves the Lord and he wins people to Christ. I mean, he's a great Christian. But his title would be that he's a sociologist, really, a Christian sociologist, and studies societal trends and motivations and all that kind of stuff. Very smart, brilliant man. But he was doing a church meeting in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. And I heard him share this at a conference I was at. He told us, now I was at this church meeting in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. And it was a church, like a little small community, suburb type church, and it had its community around it. And he said, so before the church service started every night, about 30 minutes before, we had everybody that wanted to come and pray for the revival. If you're old enough, you might remember the word revival, that we used to have revivals, right? We used to have them like 7 days of revival, that kind of stuff. They were having one of those, and there was a prayer meeting, and they were all praying, and then right in the middle of the meeting, it reminded me of Billy, because he prays like this. This would be some way Billy would be saying. This is something exactly like he would be saying to the Lord. He would be saying, everybody's praying, and then he says, just out of the blue now, he says, and Lord, about Bert Harris, Lord. Bert lives right down the street in a little mobile home, and Bert is going to be leaving his family. So, Lord, if you could do something with Bert so that he could stay with his family, God, we'd all be happy about that. Thank you, Jesus. And that was it. And they went on, and then they finished the prayer meeting. And after church that night, Anthony Campolo's driving away from the church to go back to his motel. And there's this guy walking down the street. And Anthony stops and picks him up, and the guy opens the door, gets in, and says, "Whoo, man, I'm glad you picked me up." And Anthony said, "Hey, I'm Anthony Campolo, glad to meet you." And the guy's getting in and said, "Hi, I'm Bert Harris." And so Bert said, "Which way are you going?" And Anthony said, "I'm going this way to my motel." And Bert gets in the car, and Anthony starts backing up in somebody's driveway to turn around and go right back the same. And Bert says, "Where you going, man?" He said, "Well, I'm taking you back home. You're trying to leave your family. You live right now." And he drove up right in front of a little mobile home about that time. And he said, "How'd you know where I live?" And he said, "God told me." And he said, Bert Harris turned white as a sheet. I mean, he just right there, just white as a sheet. And Anthony went in and met with him and counseled with him some, got him put back together again. It was a misunderstanding and blah, blah, blah. But I told you that story just to say this to you. I know lots of people would be saying in their heart, "Why doesn't God ever use me like that? Why don't I ever have a story like that to tell? How come I never see God work that way?" And you know what I would say? Or Anthony Campolo would say? Or God would say? Make yourself available, man. Just make yourself available. You'll have some of that stuff. Because that's who God uses. People who are available. You might not be the best choice. You know? I mean, you look at yourself, "Well, I'm not much, but..." Well, that might be true. But God's not looking for people that are much. God's looking for people who are available, man. Before you can be used, you've got to be available. Listen to God. Now, do I say this? Let me just give you the points. God uses people who dare to be different.
That clock runs fast anyways.
That one runs fast. Let me just say this about this. One little sentence or two, okay? I promise you.
I'm timing you.
Two sentences. Here it is. We live in a world where people celebrate being common. They all want to be alike. If you don't believe it, ask those snowflakes on these college campuses that are crying out and falling because somebody would dare to have a different opinion than them. "Oh, bless God, I need to be protected from the evil opinion of somebody else." What a bunch of wimps. I mean, a lot of people pride themselves, "Well, I'm different. Tell me the truth. I'm going to make it real." Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And then you'll be falling out and writing editorials in the newspaper and all that kind of stuff because somebody would dare to have a different view than you. I'm just saying, you know, That cesspool that Noah lived in, men were only evil all the time, corrupt in every possible way, that it made God so sorry that he ever created us, that he repented and started killing all of us, you know. I mean, that was the cesspool that Noah lived in, but Noah was different. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because his heart was continually on God. Noah was different. God uses people who are different. People who will dare to be different. People who will face ridicule, opposition, criticism, misunderstanding, all of that. You got to be able to handle it now if you're going to serve God, because you're going to be misunderstood a lot. You're going to be criticized a lot. You're going to be put down on a lot. That's just the way it is. So you got to dare to be. God used people dare to be. All right. This is just scriptures about that. Number three, God uses people who follow him completely. Not just when they want to. Not just when it's convenient to them. You know why some of the people in our church aren't here right now? Because they don't want to be. They have something better to do. You know, now, not everybody. Please don't, if somebody comes back, like Joe next week, don't, when he walks in, don't say. Don't say, you know why you weren't at church last week? Because you didn't want to be. Because he's at a funeral, okay? He's out of town. Same way with Justin. He's up in Hattiesburg on the pole up there putting electricity back to people or something. All that kind of stuff. Sure. Where's that sure? Yeah. But there's a good number of them that aren't here because they just don't want to be. It was raining today. Oh, I had a tired night last night. I was so tired. And you think God's going to use you, snowflake? First time somebody said, boo, you'd run like the dickens. God uses people who follow him completely, right. Not half-heartedly, not just when you want to. And then God uses people who never give up. Never give up. God used people who never give up. Hey, listen, and this is just it. You remember Moses when he was 80 years old? 80 years old? God spoke to him out of a burning bush. Now, he's 80 years old, okay? How many 80-year-olds do we have in here besides Brother Charles? He just left out, so y'all tell him I said it. But anyway, so Moses was older than any of you before he got used by God. He spent 40 years learning to be a somebody down in Egypt. And then you remember he killed the Egyptian and he had to run away, and he run to the backside of the desert, checked into the backside motel and thought he would, you know, live out the rest of his years back there. And God found him in the backside of nowhere and caught and set a bush on fire. And then Moses went to see what was in it. And God said, hey, it's me. And when he did, then he's told Moses, go down to Egypt and get the people out. And Moses did. So see, when Moses thought he was ready to retire, God says, no, you're ready to refire here. You know, when you're ready for Social Security, he said, no, we're ready for social insecurity. You know, get down. And anyway, so he let him. Now, Moses was 80 when all this happened. Noah is worse than that. Noah worked on the same project 120 years. Yeah. 120 years. Do you think you could maintain enthusiasm for a project that was going to take 120 years? I mean, think about all the criticism. His kids had to come in every day saying, Dad, Dad, Dad. Get Dad. That thing's embarrassing up in the front yard, right? My friends won't even walk with me home from school because they say, Dad has gone crazy. He's that dude preaching about, you know, the end of the world, doomsday, and blah, blah, blah. Dad, you're killing me, you know. I can't get a date. Come on. And I mean, the thing was 500 miles from any water. It never had rained, according to the word of God. So he was building a boat 500 miles away from any water, and it never had rained. How? I mean, come on. What kind of project is this? He had to be somebody that never gave up. That's just all I'm saying to you, because people are going to kill you. Problem's going to kill you. Every good plan has a problem. Just know that. Yeah, I deal with them. All right, I'm finished, y'all. I'm sorry. I could go on forever. Stand your feet. Stand your feet. Stand your feet. Stand your feet where you are. Yeah, I could go on forever. You know it. Yeah, you know I could. You know it. You know it. Yeah, I could.